And we've got Stephen Quayle tonight, a two-parter. First, we're going to talk about the world crisis, and then later, Giants on Coast to Coast AM. Lots of information going on tonight with Stephen Quayle. First of all, escalating flashpoints increasing around world tensions, including what we are not being told about the very precarious world economic situation through the eyes of Stephen Quayle, as well as the growing threat of a pandemic. Here he is on Coast to Coast AM for a two-parter tonight. Hey, Stephen, how are you?
Good evening, George. I'm looking forward to talking about what you and I have been dealing with for years, and now it's upon us, and I think a lot of the people who have been living in denial now have to admit, boy, things are really getting absurd and dangerous in the world.
Really, I had the opportunity over the last few months to talk with a number of guests and experts, Stephen, on where we are, and they've all been right. You know, they've pinpointed a situation that is far more dangerous, far more precarious than what the mainstream media has been reporting and what we're seeing. You know, Gerald Celente said, you know what, there's no accountability with the bailout. Catherine Austin Fitz has been saying that. And now Congress finally is saying, look, we're not going to give you the other $300+ billion, Treasury Department, till you tell us what's going on. They don't have the accountability, Stephen.
Well, I think the issue, too, is that the $700 billion original money, that was with the left hand, George. The right hand is $9 trillion, $8.5 to $9 trillion, and put that into perspective. We normally take in total international capital, or the countries that loan us money, $3 billion a day. In the old economics, we're spending $9 billion an hour to shore up the failing banks. Now that's $1 trillion a week. And if you remember the timing on this, starting around October 7th, that was a critical time point that everything sort of flipped and went into what I would call the kamikaze cash mode. And the thing that is important for all the listeners to understand is this money is not being printed like in $100 bills. These are credit amounts that are given to the big mega banks, and then a debt instrument is created on the other side. So in essence, the American taxpayer is bailing out the international banking cartel. And as you watch the news and I watch the news, very little, if any, of this money is filtering down to help the taxpayer. Now we're seeing the potential for General Motors, Chrysler, and Ford to go belly up. And with the amount of money that is being created, we are setting ourselves up for something that would be the Weimar Republic, Germany's pre-World War II hyperinflationary. We're on steroids, George. And I think that as you've talked to Gerald Celente and you've talked to have you had Nouriel Roubini on too?
No.
Okay. Nouriel has been getting a lot of flack from the same people that give Peter Schiff and Gerald Celente problems, but these guys have been right. Now, $2 trillion in credit card debt, you probably saw that story a couple days ago, $2 trillion in credit is going to be taken out of the debt market. That means that people who have credit limits on existing credit cards are going to have their credit limits cut dramatically. Chase and Bank of America has said some up to 50%. Now, what that's going to do is basically put a compression on the spending power of the American citizenry. And if the spending of the average citizen accounts for 70 to 80% of the gross domestic product, then you can understand that cutting the available credit is going to cut the spending, which is going to really nail our gross domestic product. And for the first time in history, pretty much, we have negative yields on Treasury bills. Remember, Treasury bills are always touted as the safest thing there is. Well, how can you have a negative return and even use the word investment? So the rest of the world, including China today, said until you guys get your financial house in order, we're not going to buy any more of your financial instruments. And it's fascinating. If you notice the timing on the market, Hank Paulson goes on, the Secretary of Treasury, goes on a national news, and the market was down 200 points the other day. And by the time he's through speaking, it goes to 690.
Down.
Yeah, down. So I guess that's the last guy you want to parade out there. I mean, he is absolutely not a confidence builder. Then we've got Ben Bernanke making the statement, and you know how he got his name, Helicopter Ben, that he said there are a lot of tools open to him, but if necessary, they drop money from helicopters. He did really say that. So now we're in a situation where we've got cascading bankruptcies, cross defaults. We've got unemployment that's double last year's total. We've got pension funds that are so underfunded. We've got the security of the safety nets that most people thought they might have in their retirement eggs or their nest eggs now being turned to omelets. And I think it's so devastating and heartbreaking that this could come to this. And this all happened, in my opinion, when Ross Perot said, everyone was so thrilled, not everyone, there are a lot of us that spoke out against NAFTA, North American Free Trade Agreement, GATT, the General Agreement on Trades and Tariffs, that giant sucking sound would be the money, the capital, leaving this country. And George Bush at the G20 meeting the other day made the statement that the Western power structure, financial structure, is yielding now to the Far East and Southeast Asia. I think that that's a very telling and compelling statement, and we're in a difficult time period where that which was certain in the old economics is no longer present in this, what I call voodoo economics.
Stephen, you and I have talked in the past about how we believe they've been trying to get the United States down to its knees financially, and here we are. And do you think it's the hidden agenda that the Illuminati, the one world government people, are involved in all of this?
Oh, absolutely, because the Illuminati is the international banking elite. You know, Amschel Rothschild in 1740, George, made the statement, give me a control of a nation or a country's money or currency, and I care not who writes its laws. So if money and the love of money is the root of all evil, then the control of that money is a control of all evil. And so this is the idea to bring the United States down to third world status. And this is why I know you had Alex Jones talking about on police mm-hmm. state martial law. I can't tell you how many of your listeners, my listeners, the listeners out there that are in the government, in the intelligence agencies, military, are calling me, are sending me emails saying, this is really happening. For instance, the chief of detectives for a major city homicide detective sent me an email saying, one of his men was at a National Guard meeting, and he's an officer. It was only for officers. And the chief general walked in, and he said, and I won't obviously use the word, but he said, you men would S your pants if you knew what's getting ready to come down and being talked about for martial law for this country. Now, there are people that deny that's in the works, but as you know, certain representatives, when the bank bailout was first being voted on, voted no, and they were threatened by Hank Paulson with martial law. Now, I'm not talking about when the Senate or Congress goes into martial law and they shut their proceedings down. I'm talking about full-scale military on the streets. And for the record, George, we were 2 minutes and 45 seconds away when the command and control structure was up in the air announcing to all of their independent, command posts throughout the country. Mm-hmm. That's how close it was, 2 minutes and 45 seconds.
That's pretty darn close, my
That's
friend.
That's real darn close.
Well, and you know, and the Pentagon announces that by 2011 they will have the minimum of 20,000 troops stationed here in the United States for, as they call, terrorist activities, but also to take care of domestic catastrophes as well. Alex Jones believes that number is going to be significantly higher.
Well, I believe it's significantly higher, too, because they have we have treaties with NATO. You and I have spoken about this over the years on the air. When George Bush Sr. closed down a lot of the existing military bases, as you know, for the Cold War, they had underground bunkers, if you will, for fallout, nuclear war, etc. But according to multiple, and I mean multiple, four-star generals active duty, they've told me they're in excess of 342,000 troops already here. Now, people will typically deny that and say, well, I don't see them. Well, I got news for you. You're not going to see them until you see them at a specific point in time. And again, George, the command structure was up in the air, ready to integrate that. And people are already reporting, I know you get the emails too that I do, that they're seeing all sorts of assets, military assets, being moved around. A lot of quote-unquote foreign troops. The thing that I don't think people recognize is that we have a border with Canada, and there are quite a few troops up there. When I say troops, we have, as you know now, for the first time in history, allowed the Chinese to station some of their troops in this country to enforce their, if you will, police powers to seize their collateral. And I don't think the American people understand that the Illuminati are absolutely selling us out, and that someday, very soon, the people that own our collateral, whether it's our real estate, whether it's our farms, whether it's our mortgages, I think most people would be flabbergasted to find out who really does own the mortgages of America, and it's pretty much either China or the Middle East. So if at some point they need to go into the international court, the world court, et cetera, who and how are Americans going to respond to the international mortgage holders, which all of these, quote, derivatives have been piled up and sold off to all the different investors around the world? This is the thing that China's been trying to get across the United States. Look, you're going to have to shore up your collateral or we won't invest. So the Illuminati is very much behind it. This is the planned destruction of the United States. We are the most perilously, we are at the most dangerous and perilous point, I think, in history. The Great Depression is nothing compared to what I see on the horizon. And I'm talking about the event horizon is, you know, now, and as you heard Gerald Celente on your program, say 2009. It's interesting because we have now the entire world's focus on our failing economy. It does. You can go to any major magazine, any major newspaper outside the country, and to say it's the topic of the day is an understatement. And the contempt now, I made a statement a number of years ago that the United States, where we were once praised, we would become a hissing sound in the mouths of the people around us. And I think that's exactly what's going to happen. Can you imagine all the people that have trusted the greenback only to find out it's worthless? Can you imagine the rage and anger? All planned by the Illuminati. They are transnational. They are absolutely, totally immoral. And the bottom line is that the American public is going to pay. And when the truth is known about pensions, we've got to hit this. People don't get in their processing capabilities or mind where pensions invest to get them a return for, quote, their future retirement. And I think that already we've heard statements saying that the proposals are not in law yet, but to take IRAs, KEOs, 401Ks, and basically assume those, the government will assume those, and then pay some type of a marginal 3% return and dole out the proceeds to the owner of the pensions. Have you heard that?
Yes. And why do you think, though, Stephen, they have made their move now?
Well, because it's time, and it's really time. They have their specific timetable, and it's accelerating. When we get to the part of the show where we'll talk about giants and genetic engineering and how close we are to the revealing of all the stuff that's been hidden in the earth, this is their time, George. They're making their move. And if you notice, this is global. And it's fascinating because it ties in even with the situation in India and Pakistan. We've seen that thing go hot, almost to the brink of nuclear war, to be basically cooled down. I can tell you from active duty people and military and people that are in that theater right now, they do not expect that to cool down. They believe Pakistan will light the fuse that will put us into a worldwide nuclear conflagration. Now, most people would challenge that statement, but they don't understand that under Pakistan's nuclear weapons development under Dr. Khan, the nuclear weapons technology was sold all over the world. Now, how does this relate to the economies of the world? Simple. Different people are vying for the power on the planet. Money in itself is the vehicle to achieve the power, and everybody is going after the power, and it's kind of like everybody wants a bigger gun. Well, the intelligence services of Pakistan have strategically placed these nuclear weapons throughout the world. In other words, they're not just all in a bunker in some obscure desert fortress. They are strategically placed through the world so they can be acquired or used as necessary. So the question is, what will India do? And tonight I received a Middle East communique from someone over there, and they said that already the IDF, this will be mainstream news tomorrow, but it isn't yet, that the IDF is planning their total battle plan, excluding the United States, to take on Iran. Now, we've heard that. But the point is that I don't think people tie these things together. The international bankers have made a statement, quote, they make more in one day of war than they do a year of peace.
I believe that.
And if you and I are funding side A against side B or belligerent A against belligerent B, and both A and B come to us to not only get their money, but their bombs, bullets, rifles, whatever, weapon systems. We don't really care the outcome. We'll let them duke it out as long as their gold or their drugs are good, and whatever we've got, we're making a profit at. So the thing is that at the financial inception point where there is no longer an ability to pull this thing out, that's when war starts. That's obviously the start of World War II. Obviously, we're seeing very dangerous police state tactics. I think that most people cannot equate the surveillance society with a total economic control society. We're seeing it in Britain. It's failing miserably. And the point now is that we're now going to welcome those same thoughts into this country, the freedom of speech issue, the Second Amendment, the gun issue, just dealing with that. There have been more rifles, pistols, and ammunition sold in the last 45 days, I believe, than the whole year leading up to that.
People are afraid. I mean, I've got a friend of mine owns a gun shop. He said people think guns are going to be confiscated. And, you know, I'm not sure they can pull it off, though they may try, Stephen. But he said people are buying ammo, they're buying new guns. And just yesterday, by the way, a St. Louis alderman, Charles Troop, said that he doesn't believe law enforcement is capable of taking care of the north part of St. Louis. And so he's asking residents in his constituency to buy guns and arm themselves. It's amazing.
Absolutely. And just to put that into perspective, George, a friend of mine called from another state and said he had just talked to a federal marshal. And the federal marshal made the statement that they are going to first go after the handguns. Evidently, the president-elect has notified the ATF, even though he has no real authority yet, to basically categorize and qualify the different areas in the country that represent the most handgun ownership. And I think people better put something out of their mind. They say they can't do that. It's unconstitutional. I'll give you Henry Kissinger's quote on that. The illegal we do immediately. The unconstitutional takes a little longer. So the thing that I think that people need to recognize is there's fear in the land. And I want to make an appeal, if I can, to all the different gang members that might be out there listening to this broadcast tonight. Realize who's controlling you. Don't buy the lie. George, the internationalists want to turn the Latinos on the blacks on the whites. This is all planned, okay? It's planned by the very Illuminists who want to destroy this country. And I'm every time I get a guy who will say, hey, I'm with a biker gang or I'm with a Latino gang or whatever, I say, listen, you guys, you've got to understand, they're playing everybody off against each other. They're trying to stir it up. Don't fall for it. The real guys are the guys saying, go do this. I think anybody who is even rational, the last thing they want to see is that sort of thing happening in this country. And my prayer and my efforts are to basically say, look, understand that the Illuminati wants this thing. Getting back to Federal Marshal, he said point blank to my friend, I've known my friend for 20 years. He's a businessman. We've done business for 20 years. Straight up guy. And he gave me such detail that it absolutely broke my heart, because you would not even believe, so much so, that they believe they'll have to lock themselves, federal marshals will lock themselves in federal building, have basically perimeter fences that are bomb-proof, have magnetic bomb detectors, are worried about people sticking magnetic bombs, and they're being told that they'll need the military because when they go for the guns, it's going to cause civil war in this country. Now, if that's...
And how do you think, if they go for the guns, Stephen, how are they going to do it? I mean, what are they going to go door-to-door? I mean, they already know the legal folks who have guns, they already know about us, right?
I think they'll start out with an extreme ammo tax. It's already been, you're hearing rumors of that up to 800%. But evidently they want the handguns first. Handguns obviously are more concealable than a rifle, a battle rifle, a hunting rifle. But the idea is that according to my sources, which are in the agencies that are being told to do this, they're saying point blank, that I don't think people realize this. When you fill out a yellow sheet or a white sheet to buy a handgun in America, those numbers aren't supposed to be kept in a master data file. They're supposed to be once you're checked, but they all are kept, okay? We all know that. And so the point is that my guess is, George, that you'll get a tax bill. They can do it through taxation. And then you say, well, I sold that gun at a gun show or traded or whatever, and they'll say, well, give us a receipt. In essence, they could put in a de facto tax on handguns based on whatever records they have, and I think that's what they'll try and do initially.
Stephen, when we come back, let's also talk about the price of oil. It's drastically low now. Why? We'll be back. Next hour, Stephen Quayle will talk about giants with his new work, Long Walkers, Return of the Nephilim. Hey, by the way, have you signed up yet for the free e-newsletter? It's called Coast Zone, and it is coming to your doorstep for free, your computer doorstep, that is. All you have to do is register for it by going to coasttocoastam.com. Stephen, the price of oil plummeting. I mean, it's $1.50, $60 a gallon in a lot of areas now. I mean, I never thought that would happen that drastically, especially after the way it went up to almost $5 a gallon. What the heck is going on there?
Well, I think it's probably one of the most superb moves by the illuminous of the world. First of all, Saudi Arabia and Russia and the oil-producing countries base there, and Chavez in Venezuela, of course, based their expending, whether they're buying weapon systems, whether they're buying anything and everything, they spent it, George, on that. They're factored in the $75 to $100 per barrel pricing. The thing is, I think it was Lindsey Williams said when oil was up $120, he said they expected to go to $50. The man that told him that also told him that from 1 year when oil hits $50, the middle class in America will be destroyed. He didn't just say hurting, he said destroyed. So understand, obviously, those who control the money of the world, they don't like competition. So by driving down the price of oil and manipulating the price of oil down, let's face it, if they control it, they can put it wherever they want it. They can put the squeeze on Russia. And I'm told by people that I know that are very well connected in that part of the world that both President Medvedev and also Vladimir Putin are so angry that basically, they're ready to, and some people aren't going to like this, but they are ready to call America's bluff. Now, I don't like the terms of people been watching what's going on in Venezuela with the Russians, also the Russians in Cuba. They've basically said, we're in their backyard, they'll be in our backyard. But it's to pretty much bankrupt or to put the spending controls on the Middle East and also on Russia. And as you notice, both today, I think there are two drudge stories that both the Middle East and Russia, they want $75 a barrel. If it goes to 40 or 30, understand Russia was getting into a position to back the ruble with commodities. But now they've had to sell off so many of their foreign reserves to support the ruble that it doesn't give them the financial strength. Basically, the boys that control the printing presses don't want competition, and they certainly don't want it to happen.
The boys are getting tough. A warship going through the Panama, a Russian warship now.
Yeah, when's the last time you and an old Navy man could have even imagined that?
Yeah, never. Never.
And here's the thing. I don't think people understand that Aruba and Curaçao, Bonaire, the ABC islands in the Caribbean, that's a very critical point for oil. Again, that's the deep water port where a lot of the super tankers unload, and then from there it's transshipped in the United States. A blockade or any type of incident in that area would be absolutely detrimental to the United States in a huge way. As you know, Chavez has signed deals with Russia to buy just billions and billions of dollars worth of weapons. Well, he can't buy as many weapons at the price of oil. So it's not only a geopolitical maneuver, but it's a financial control maneuver. And again, it gets right back to the statement in 1740. Give me control of a nation's money or a country's money, and I care not who writes its laws. We're seeing that right now with no accountability in Congress. I think, George, that people can't count to a billion, and I'm not making fun of anyone. But then you get up into the trillion, and you go, wait a minute. We're talking about a problem that hasn't even surfaced yet, and that's the fact that the derivatives, oh, we're seeing little bits and pieces, but that's a quadrillion-dollar problem. And you cannot liquefy a quadrillion dollars with $1 trillion. A quadrillion is 1,000 trillion. So the point is that the money has been absolutely, and let's just call it what it is, piracy in the open market. I don't think it's rational to even begin to try and understand money apart from power, because money is power. I talked to a very wealthy man one time, absolutely one of the most devoid of human emotion. I would call him a creature, and a creature just meaning that
a zombie with a brain, huh?
And a good definition. And he said, it's not the money, Steve. And this man was one of the largest owners of Gazprom. People who know what Gazprom is will know that that's big bucks. It's obviously the Russian gas company that controls just vast amounts of oil wealth. And he said, it's not the money, Steve. It's the power. He said, you get to a point where money just pretty much is meaningless. And he said, then it's all about power, and it's about control.
Yeah.
So, again, this is the thing that if I can get one thing across tonight, George, that in, and you have tried to do it too, if you can, and we can get people to understand that when they've got these mega bucks, they have mega power. And that's by the puppets in Congress. I mean, it's just the marionette men and their smiling ladies. They do not understand how, or forgive me, they most certainly do understand that if they don't make the puppet masters happy, their strings get cut, and there goes their prestige or power. And that's when all the blackmail photos come out and get leaked to the press.
Tell me about the price of gold, because every expert I've talked to believes it's suppressed, that it should be much higher today.
Right. Well, I think that since I did make the statement on national radio so many times 2 years ago, I said the price of gold, the day will come when the official spot price will be totally irrelevant to the acquisition price of metals. After saying it for 2 years, and I read some of the comments and some of the blogs saying I was crazy, didn't know what I was talking about. But, you know, having been in that business for 32 years, I know something. But the point that I want to make is this, that the control of the price of gold is done by shorting the futures market. That's what spot price is taken off of. For instance, official spot price on gold was like around $770 today. But to get a 1 ounce gold eagle or a 1 ounce gold maple leaf, first of all, they're almost impossible because they're very tough to find, but you're going to spend sometimes up to a 50% premium. It's because the monopoly or the monopolizers that want to basically sell a commodity they do not physically possess and charge a premium for it, they want to scare people out of the market. So when people play the paper gold market, they're subject to the control of the control freaks. But those who buy the physical gold or the physical silver take it out of their hands. It's the same story with silver. Silver is down around, 980, 970. Yet to buy it, you can't find it in the United States probably for anything less than 15 to 18 bucks. And a good way for people to check the real price is to go on eBay. Because, again, eBay is a bid and sell. So the price of gold and silver is intentionally being manipulated by the central bankers and one of the biggest insurance companies in the world in order to keep people from taking their financial assets out, converting paper to physical. Because, again, remember, it's not the trick, it's the illusion. So every time someone buys a gold coin, buys a silver coin, buys platinum, palladium, whatever precious metal, and with the ammo going out, somebody said, my favorite precious metal now is lead. And I said, well,
yeah, that's what I heard.
Yeah, it's funny you should say that, because actually ammo has tripled probably over the last 2 years. So the point is that now there is a two-tier market. There's the fair market, which is what I would call the reality acquisition market price of gold, and then there's the manipulated price. It's just like, how can somebody sell gold they don't own, literally, or silver they don't own, and then say they'll sell it cheaper than the guys who physically own it? And it's called backwardation, when the present price is, usually a futures price is higher than the present price. But this is not only backwardation. We've got now, we've got the Royal Canadian Mint basically not being able to keep up and shutting down. U.S.
A friend of mine said that what he wants to invest in, and you just mentioned it, he wants to buy pallets of ammo and store them because he says they're going to go, it's going to go through the roof.
Absolutely. You know, a gentleman that wrote a great book called Survival Guns, he's dead now, Mel Tappan, he's considered the father of the survival movement. He said, you're going to love this one. He said, you'll know that the end is near. Now, keep in mind, when he wrote the book back in the 70s, it was, a centerfire round, a high-powered rifle round, was probably somewhere around 10 to 15, maybe even 20 cents a round. Now that same high-power round is $1.50. So the point is, he said, you'll know the end is near when the rounds go for $1 to $1.50. And I think that's fascinating because, you know, you can say, well, in retrospect, he said that almost 40 years ago. So I think your friend is very smart.
What's going on in the terms of weather wars these days, Stephen?
Well, weather wars is becoming a more prominent concern, especially as the announcements are being made by DARPA, Defense Advanced Research Project, and all of the announcement. For instance, today, someone just announced that they believe that by putting jets into a hurricane path and creating a sonic boom, that the sonic boom can offset the velocity of the winds. I don't know if you saw that. Someone's actually applied for a patent. But more sinister than that, George, weather modification and chemtrails. The chemtrail formulations are absolutely changing. As the chemtrail residue is in Montana, we get beautiful cumulus clouds. And all of a sudden, the jets will fly over in their matrix like madness.
Oh, yeah, it's
spray
and gone.
And the water just evaporates. See, I believe they're inducing. They, meaning the Illuminati, are inducing the drought that leads to famine. And how about the food prices? So weather warfare is full-scale going on in America. I had a general, one of America's bravest generals, Special Operations, tell me, he said, listen, did you ever think, Steve, that not only is this for drought and food and population control, but they're terraforming the Earth for something else that's soon to come upon the Earth? Now, listen, George, these are generals. These are not guys that have retired and go on Fox and give their opinion on battle plans in Iraq, okay? And these are the guys that basically know how to bump back at those things that go bump in the night. That's exactly how it was explained to me. So understand, if the atmosphere is changing, and you talk to people. I have one lady that basically says the jets are urinating on her all the time. She doesn't use that word, but she uses a little more coarse language. And she lives at the airport. But I got to tell you something. The bottom line is that we watched in Bozeman, if you will, imagine an airport that's basically at the base of mountains. Mountains would be probably 2 miles just straight ahead of the runway, straight ahead to the side of the runway. And we watched a purple, blackish goo come in after spraying, and it looked like a tidal wave of the stuff. I've never seen anything like it. It was the most unusual wave of chemical spraying I've ever seen, and it just absolutely covered a certain part of the valley. Well, people don't understand that Montana is the headwater for the Missouri River, okay? The same area I'm talking about is where the Missouri River starts. And the thing is that now we're hearing reports of absolute strange anomalies, meaning strange anomalies not only in the weather, and by the way, our weather where we should be snowing, yesterday it was raining, finally turned to snow, but people are reporting new sicknesses and new illnesses. And what my concern is...
That's a good point. I have talked to more people who have been so sick lately. I mean, so sick. Respiratory infections that just don't seem to go away. I mean, and it's all around the country.
Right.
California, the Midwest, and again, California again. People who normally never get sick out there, they're getting sick.
Oh, absolutely. And see, this is the thing. You can actually find the, you go to CDC, and I did this years ago when the chemtrail first started, okay? We started mapping the areas of dispersal against the areas of reporting chronic breathing issues, chronic pneumonia. And quite candidly, I know people who have, I've talked to them, they've called me from all their country, especially after doing your show, and said, I've got pneumonia. I've never had pneumonia. And the doctors say it's the darndest thing, and you know, that they have this form of pneumonia or bronchial infection. So, and it's fascinating, George. The other day I went out in my front yard, and it was like, oh, it was like cotton candy. It was all the little fibers all across the land. It looked like someone had sprayed cotton candy on my land, okay? And I live out in the country at the base of the mountains, and the thing that's fascinating is that it was a filamentous material. I actually got pictures of it. And the thing that's interesting to me, it was falling like silver wool just out of the skies, okay? Some people call it, what, angel hair or whatever.
Yeah.
And so can you imagine getting, if people die from asbestos poisoning and all of the different silicosis of the lungs when they work in mines, et cetera, that stuff, we're breathing that stuff in. And it's interesting, people are reporting to me the deaths of their pets, cancer in their pets, because their pets usually spend more time outside. And the correlation is, so this is a weather control weapon, the chemtrails. And when you see the X's in the sky, that's so their satellites can monitor the effective spray radius of the chemtrail.
Well, let me tell you, what about Morgellons? Do you think that could be tied into some of this, Morgellons disease?
Oh, absolutely. You know, Cliff Carnicom's got a great site, carnicom.com, and he's a scientist. And the Morgellons phenomenon, that's one of those things where here's a definable situation, symptoms, photomicrographs, and the doctors say, well, it's all in your head. Well, yeah, it's a little spiral worms that are nano worms coming out of my head. The thing is that the people that have it suffer horribly. I believe that Morgellons disease is a nano-based weapon spray, okay? And that nano-based weapon spray, imagine this, being able to impregnate miniature hypodermic needles with whatever poison, and they replicate once they get into your skin. Does that sound like something you or I want?
I don't think so.
And yet when they're called on the spot to defend, they'll say, oh, this is just to reflect the sunlight back into the upper atmosphere. Well, that may have been the cover story, but I believe, again, you cannot kill 6 billion people. And I'm so glad I heard your intro, because it's population control. And the word control is too sanitary. It's population annihilation. And I, for one, am furious that more people will not look up. I don't know how many people you talk to, but you say, you see that? That's chemtrails in the sky. They say, oh, no, that's contrails. And anybody that's been a pilot knows if they're flying east, they got to fly at a certain altitude. They got to maintain their distance from other commercial aircraft. But when the military basically are like LSD crossing the sky playing tic-tac-toe and X's and O's, you got to know that this is something that's beyond the civilian air corridor control. And so when you look at the chemtrail spraying, I think that's the most in-your-face and in-your-lung weapon, weather modification weapon system that's going on right now.
I think you're absolutely right. Go ahead.
And I think also that people have got to understand now, in the same technology that can control and modify the weather also can set off volcanoes and earthquakes. The idea of that is in U.S. patents, and again, in my book, which I gave out, by the way, and I want to thank you for allowing me to announce that, because I gave it out to over 500 vets. And, George, again, the story that the veterans, the stories, the different war stories, we have some phenomenal people that listen to your show, okay, just phenomenal. And we all owe them such a debt of thanksgiving. But even beyond that, the guys that would respond to the book, Weather Wars, that I put out basically said, you know, I used to work for the CIA or I used to work this or that, and I can tell you this, you're making it tame. These guys want to wipe out the entire planet. And that's what he said, you know, some of the pilots have said. So the thing is that we're under full-scale weather warfare. It's inducing drought, which brings about famine, and not a day goes by where food prices aren't rising, where genetically modified. Now, here's something scary. In the lab, let's say they implant a specific gene or they splice a specific gene in, and then in the air they put a binary activating agent. So when you combine what's been done in the lab and bring it into contact, what's being poured out in the air, and I'm telling you, this is not some conspiracy theory. These are sick people. They're my friends. They're my neighbors. They're people I love and care for. They're people that are absolutely beside themselves being told, oh, it's all in your head. It's not in their head. It's literally in their lungs. It's in their body, and they're suffering immeasurably. And the devils that are, that's what I call them, how dare they, and shame on them to think that they would do that to their own countrymen. But let me share this. These are not people with souls, and that brings us, you know, into the next hour with what's going on with the giants, because the technology to create a super race, you and I have talked about it before, mm-hmm. But also to take the live DNA. We're reading every day about mammoths, woolly mammoths, this being recreated, that being recreated, new dinosaur finds in the Arctic, et cetera, et cetera. Imagine being able to take the worst of anything that's ever been on the planet, combine it genetically in a lab, reconstitute it, supercharge it, and turn it loose on the people. And that's what makes me absolutely go volcanic. And that's what people have got to understand. It's getting that dangerous, whether it's the dogs of war, the super soldiers, or the literal its that are ready to come through CERN. We need to talk about CERN, because I've had physicists contact me and tell me that they're scared of what they're seeing and what's going to be coming on the planet.
Back with Stephen Quayle as we talk about giants next on Coast to Coast AM.